I want to look a little bit at linear systems to sort of complete what we were talking about, so getting away from Diophantine equations for a minute. I'd like to look at a system of three equations and three unknowns. And as we talked about before, we can do this, approach this in exactly the same way as we would a system of two equations and two unknowns, or any number of equations and any number of unknowns or variables. So we have those three operations, which you may recall. It says I can rewrite the system with the equations in a different order, or interchange two equations. Or I can add, multiply any equation by a non-zero constant. Or I can add a multiple of one equation to one of the other equations. Okay, so the approach that we looked at last week, I think, was to see if we could eliminate one of the variables from one or two of the equations and thus get ourselves a simpler thing and either solve that because we'd have two equations and two unknowns, or go on from there. So I'm just going to number these three equations and I'll ask someone to tell me what would you like to try to eliminate. What would we do first step? So just add first equation to equation two. So we get x plus 3x, so 4x. 2x plus negative 2x, of course, gives me zero, or sorry, y. 2y plus negative 2y is giving me 0y, which is what he wanted to do. He wanted to eliminate the y. So we get 0y there. And then we get negative 3z plus z would give me what?
Minus 2z.
Negative 2 or minus 2z. And 0 plus 6 gives me 6. Okay? Now, since we eliminated y from the second equation by adding a multiple of the first equation, let's do the same thing to equation 3. See if we can eliminate the y by adding a multiple of equation 1. So what would we do?
Yeah? 8x minus 4z equals multiple.
And how did you get that?
I added them together.
Added which together?
2 and d.
So you're adding this one to this one?
Yeah.
Okay. We could do that. And that's sort of legal, because we could have done that first and then did what we just did. You have to be a little bit careful, because once you've modified an equation, you can't really use it again in that way. But what you said was fine, because we could have done that first. Like, we could have added this one to this one to get rid of the y's and replaced this one with that new equation, and then added these two together to get rid of the y in there. So, essentially, we could do what you suggest, but let's just humor me because I'm an old guy. So I could add negative 1 times the first equation to the third, or effectively subtract the first equation from the third equation. What you said is not wrong, okay? I'm just trying to make a point later on. So I'm going to do that. So we take equation 3, and to it we'll add negative 1 times equation 1. So effectively, we're subtracting equation 1. And if I do that, then I get 5x minus x is 4x. I get 2y minus 2y is 0y. And I get negative 5z subtract negative 3z gives me negative 2z. And 6 minus 0. So now we have three new equations. My point in writing it this way is that this is a new system of three equations and three unknowns. And because we got to it by using elementary operations, we know that the solution set to this one, this system, is the same as the solution set to this one. And that's important to us. We don't want to do something that changes the solution. Now, what do you notice about our new system?
The same two equations.
Yeah, two of the equations are identical. So, what do you want to do with the next step? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to call this now equation 4 and this equation 5. And so, what I'm going to do next is simply go ahead as if I didn't notice that they were the same. And say, oh, and since the x's are the same in both 4x and 4x, I'm just going to subtract what I've now called equation 4 from equation 5 to eliminate the x's in equation 5. And I'll just write down 0z. I could write down 0x plus 0y plus 0z. But I'll just write down 0z equals 0. Right? And whether I had eliminated anything else, if I get to the point where I've got an equation that looks like that, that's telling me, as someone pointed out, that I have infinitely many solutions. There are lots of solutions to the system. Okay, now the question is, what's that general solution going to look like? And we talked a little bit about that. So the fact that what it boils down to, we started with three equations and three variables. And by adding the equations together, we were able to eliminate one completely. And what that tells us is that we have infinitely many solutions. Now, what we want is a general solution to the system. So we want to involve a parameter. And we have some choice here. The logical choices for what we've done so far are to use x or z as our parameter and express the other two in terms of that. So which one would you like to use as our parameter, x or z? X? So from this equation, we get that z equal to 6 minus 4x all divided by negative 2, or 2x minus 3, right? Now what we'll do is we'll take this and we'll put it in for x up here, and then we'll have only z, for z up there, and then we'll only have x and y and x's, and we'll solve for y in terms of x. So we have x plus 2y minus 3 times z, which is 2x minus 3. And now we want to rearrange that ultimately to say y is equal to something in terms of x. So what does y equal?
5x minus 9 divided by 2.
So we decided over here that we're going to use x as our parameter. So we're not going to solve for x itself. In fact, we're going to let x be any real number it wants. So now we have z in terms of x, and we have y in terms of x. So now we can write our general solution. Remember, 2 weeks ago we spent some time writing down parametric solutions to equations. We said we could write it as, if we only had two variables, we could use either x or y as our parameter and write down a funny-looking expression for the solution. And we said if we had three variables and we only had one equation, we'd have to give values to two of the variables before we could calculate the third variable. And we talked a little bit about that, and we decided that if we had some number of variables and only one equation, what we needed to do to get a solution was to give values to all but one of the variables and then calculate the last one. All right? Well, this is very similar. Here I have three equations with three variables. When I did some reduction, one of the equations disappeared because, in fact, it's a sum of the other two. So now I have, what I end up having is an equivalent system over here, which only has two equations, but has three variables. And what that tells me is that my general solution will have one parameter. The number of equations in the reduced system plus the number of parameters will equal the number of variables. So in this case, since I eliminate only one of the equations, I'm left still with two equations, and I can't eliminate the other one using valid methods. Tells me I have one parameter. I could choose any one of the variables as my parameter. It doesn't matter which one I choose. I just get a different looking solution, but they would be equivalent. So there's a general solution to this. It's an ordered triple of the form x, 5x minus 9 over 2, 2x minus 3, where x can be any real number. Okay? That's the complete solution to this linear system. Now, the reason I wrote it this way was to emphasize the fact that what we've actually done is reduced it to a system of equations. We've eliminated one of the equations completely. And so comparing the number of equations to the number of variables tells me something about the number of parameters I need. So I have a few questions here that I'm going to let you spend a couple minutes looking at the first couple, and then we'll look at some solutions to them.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, let's just take a look at this. One of the things you want to key on when you're looking for these things is to look for one of the variables, if possible. You look for a variable which has a coefficient of 1 or negative 1. Although you don't have to necessarily do it this way, the idea to keep things neat for yourself is to sort of pick on one variable with a coefficient of 1 or negative 1 and use it, the equation with that one in it, to eliminate the other equations. Okay? Now, so once you've used an equation or changed an equation by adding another one to it, you don't want to use the old equation 2 or whatever, because you've already changed it. In this case, there are two sort of obvious ones for me. Either use this negative y and add multiples of the second equation to each of the other two to get rid of the y's, or use this z and add multiples of the first equation to each of the other two to get rid of the z's. It doesn't really matter which you do, but do something, pick a variable, say, this is what I'm going to do. And then use that equation with the variable picked with those coefficients, if you can. You can't always. So then you have to adjust the method. So which one do you want to use, the z or the y?
The y.
So what we're going to do, we've picked on this one. What I'm going to suggest we do is add multiples of the second row, or the second equation, to each of the other two, so that we get 0y in the other two. That says that I'm going to add what multiple of the second equation to the first one?
4.
So I'm going to take equation 1 plus 4 times equation 2. And what do I get?
You get 11x. And 0 y's and 33 z
equals
negative 22.
Now, just for completeness, although you don't necessarily need to do this, but just for completeness, so that we can now talk about our new system over here, I'm going to rewrite equation 2. And this I'm going to call equation 4. So read this as equation 1 plus 4 times equation 2 gives me equation 4. Okay. Now, what am I going to do down here? I want to add a multiple of equation 2 to equation 3 so that, again, I get rid of the y, 5. So I'm going to take equation 1 plus 5 times equation 2, and that's going to give me now equation 5. So what happens when I do that? How many x do I have?
12x.
12x. 5 times 8 is? 40. 40 minus 4. And what do I get over here then? So now there's my equivalent system. And now you might notice that we can simplify the first equation. Yeah, we can multiply by 1 over 11 or divide everything by 11. So this gives me x plus 3z equals negative 2. What about the equation 5 here? Yeah, we have a multiple of 12 in each case. So we multiply by 1 over 12 or divide by 12, whichever you want to think about it. And that gives me what? X plus 3z equals negative 2. And so what you notice then is if I add my top equation or subtract my top equation from my bottom equation, again I get an equation that says 0 equals 0. Right? So I've eliminated one equation, which says I have one parameter. Okay, so now the logical choices for our parameter are x and z, because we have an equation which deals with just x and z. Which one do you want to use as your parameter? So I want x in terms of z. I want x equals negative 2 minus 3z. This one tells me that x is equal to negative 2 minus 3z. So I'm going to substitute that into here, which will give me an equation in y and z, and I'll express y in terms of z. And so what I want is y equals something in terms of z. So if we simplify here a little bit, and so I think y is equal to 2z plus 3. So my general solution, so we have x is equal to negative 2 minus 3z, y is equal to 2z plus 3, or if you want 3 plus 2z, and z of course is just itself, and it can be any real number, right? So there, z is my parameter. Okay, if we look at the second system, we have to be careful of one little thing. You have to think about the order in which you do the operation. If I've already added equation 1 to equation 2, for example, in this case, if the first elementary operation I perform adds equation 1 to equation 2 to eliminate the y, I can't then add this old equation 2 to equation 1 to eliminate the y, because this old equation 2 doesn't exist anymore, because I eliminated the y by adding the first equation. So you have to think about the order. And once you've added equation 1 to equation 2 and replaced equation 2 with that sum, this equation 2 is not there anymore. So you have to be a little bit careful that you do things in a systematic way. So one of the things that you can do, and this is a great example, because we can eliminate any one of the three variables that we want. So we'll just leave equation 1 alone, and equation 2, we'll add negative 2 times equation 1 to it to give me equation 4. So 2x minus 2x is 0x, that's the whole point. Negative y, subtract 2 times y, would be negative 3y, and z, subtract 2 times negative z, would be what, 3z?
Yeah.
And here, I'm going to get 3 minus 4, negative 1, right? Now using the same idea, I'm going to add another multiple of equation 1 to equation 3. So I'm not going to use equation 2, because I've already changed it. So I'm going to add negative 5 times the first equation to the third equation. So equation 3 minus 5 times equation 1, which I'll call equation 5. And so I get 5 minus 5x, okay? That's 0x. I get negative y, subtract 5y, so negative 6y. I get z, subtract 5 times negative z, so that would be 6z, and then I have 8 minus 10, right? So this is Gauss's idea, was to take this, and now you notice that only the first equation has an x in it. And so then what he said is, let's move down, and we'll try to get an equation from the equations 2 and down. If there's one of them that has the coefficient of 1 with the y, I'll move it. Well, I don't have that. Of course, we notice that, this equation is just twice this one. And so even if I can't easily get a 1 there, I notice that this equation, equation 5, it's just 2 times equation 4. So I'm going to go ahead, or even if I don't notice the whole equation is a multiple, I have negative 6y here, and I have negative 3y there. So the y's, there's twice as many here as there are there. So I'm not going to touch equation 1. I'm going to leave it alone. And what I'm going to do next is say simply, I'm going to take equation 5 and subtract from it 2 times equation 4. And I guess we're calling this 6. So negative 6y subtract 2 times negative 3y will give me 0y. 6x subtract 2 times, or 6z subtract 2 times 3z gives me 0. And negative 1 subtract 2 times negative, or negative 2 subtract 2 times negative 1 gives me 0. So again, I get 0 equals 0. Now, in some of the systems that we looked at last week, that wouldn't happen because they had unique solutions. So what would happen if your system had a unique solution here is you'd get some number of z's equals some number. So just bear with me for a moment. Suppose that we had come down here and gotten that z was equal to 3 rather than z 0, z equals z. So in a different system, if we do this, we get z equals 3. Now we can take that value and put it back up here for z and figure out what y is. And then we can take the value that we get for y and the value we already got for z, put them up here and find out what x is. So that's what happens if you have a unique solution. You get down to the bottom and you get z equals some number. And then you just do some back substitution and you work out the other numbers. When we have this, we have the situation of a parametric solution. So this tells me now that I have infinitely many solutions. So I'm back to deciding which I want to use as a parameter. And you choose one of these two. Many people use z. So what you want to do is express y in terms of z. Y is equal to something in terms of z. So here, from equation 4, we get that y is equal to negative 1 minus 3z over negative 3, or 1 plus 3z over 3. And if you wanted to write that as 1/3 plus z, that's fine. And now we go back to equation 1. We have x plus, now we substitute for y, 1 plus 3z over 3. And then we have a minus z equals 2. And now we're going to rearrange that so that we get x equals something. So we get x is equal to 5 over 3. So it turns out in this one that there is a specific value for x, but then the y depends on z, and that can happen. So this is the idea. This is Gaussian elimination. Now you'll see it in the context of matrix reduction later on, but that's exactly what you're doing. You're saying, arrange my system so that up here I have a variable with a coefficient 1. Add multiples of the first equation to each of the other equations to get rid of that variable, whatever it is. Then I'm going to move down and over, in our case, to y, but in my new system. And I'll add multiples of this equation, or if I want, I can rearrange things, to the other equations to eliminate the y in the equations below that. And then I can go, once I finish that, if I have anything left, I can go down and use my z's and all things below it. So if you look at equation of the system 3, where you have 5 variables, that would be the approach to take. First thing, use the x1 in the first equation, subtract multiples of the first equation, or add multiples of the first equation to the other equation, so you have no x1's except in the first equation. Then come down to the second equation and over to, if you don't have an x2, rearrange the equation so that you do have an x2. Get one with the coefficient 1, if you can, and add multiples of the second equation to all the ones below it, so that there's no x2s in them anymore, and then they'll continue over. Now, if you get to a point where you're looking for an x4 and there aren't any x4s, that's okay, just go over to x5. So try a third one on your own. We'll do it in a minute. Okay. So take a few minutes to look at this one. I look at that system and I immediately know that there are infinitely many solutions. Why?
Zero.
That's only one solution. If I make all of the variables zero, that's one particular solution. And that solution exists. X1 equals X2, X equals X3 equals X4 equals X5 equals zero is a particular solution. But it's not all. I have more variables than I have equations. Immediately tells me that, in general, if I have more variables in my system than I have equations, it tells me that if there's a solution, there will be infinitely many solutions. And since I know there is a solution, because the trivial solution, everything equals zero, works, I have infinitely many solutions. This is a particular type of linear system. We call it a homogeneous linear system, because all the constant terms, the numbers, not the coefficients of the variables, but the constant terms are all zero. So we call it a homogeneous linear system. So I know there's a solution. 0, 0, 0, 0, 0 is a solution. And since I have fewer equations than I have variables, then there'll be infinitely many solutions. So if I use the approach that we just talked about, rearrange my equations if I need to so that the first equation has the first variable with a coefficient 1. I don't have to do anything, it's already that way. Use that and add multiples of the first equations to the other ones so that I get rid of all the x1s. And that's pretty simple to do in this case because all of them have coefficients. There's none here, so I don't have to do anything to equation 2. I'll just rewrite it. And I just subtract equation 1 from each of equation 3 and 4. So those are my first two elementary operations. Add negative 1 times the first equation to the third. Add negative 1 times the first equation to the fourth. And those are my two elementary operations that I will perform first And then I would have x1 only in my first equation. So
let's do that. Then I'll have 3 minus 1, which I'll call 4, 5. And I'll have 4 minus 1, which I'll call 6. And so what do I get here? I get negative x2 plus x3, negative 2x5. Since my constants are all zeros, it doesn't matter how many I'm adding and subtracting, I'm going to end up with 0 anyway. And then I do the same here, so x1 minus x1, so 2x1 minus 3, so minus x2, x3 minus x3, the x3 is gone, x4 minus x4, there's no x4 here, and 2x5 minus 2x5 gives me 0. Oh,
what does that tell me?
X2 equals 0.
X2 equals 0.
So I'm just going to interchange equation 2 with equation 6, right? And I'm actually going to multiply equation 6 by negative 1.
This gets cumbersome if you have too many equations, too many variables, which is why you'll really like it when you get to matrix notation. So I multiplied equation 6 by negative 1, and I interchanged equation 6 with equation 2. So this should be the same as what my equation 2 was over there. This I didn't change, and this, okay? Now, using Gauss's method, I can take that and eliminate the x2's below it. And this is particularly easy because there's nothing else here, and this is a zero. So when I do that, and now Gauss says, come down to the next equation, come over to x3, the next variable, and use this x3 to eliminate all the x3's below it. So there's only one. So we're almost done. So when I do that, I get 0x3 and I get negative x5, subtract negative 2x5, which would give me x5 equals 0. Now you can see a couple of things happening. My next step, according to Gauss, would be come down here and look for an x4. Well, there isn't any. So I'll skip x4 and come over to x5. So there's my x5, it's got 1. So I know that x5 equals 0. So you can see what I can do here. I can add twice this row now to this equation to this one, eliminate the x5s, and I'll then have that x3 equals 0. And I can add negative 2 times this to this, so I'll eliminate the x5 there. This gets very cumbersome. So if I do that, we have that x5 equals 0, we have that x3 equals 0, and we have x2 equals 0 from these three lines. But up here we still have 4 variables present, but you can see what I'm going to do. Well, I know x3 equals 0, so I can just get rid of this. This is just a 0. I know x2 equals 0, so I can get rid of this. This is just 0. So I'm going to do a couple things. I'm going to take the third equation away from the first equation. I'm going to take 3 times the second equation away from the first equation. In my general solution, I have that x2 is 0, x3 must be 0, x5 must be 0. But as long then as x1 and x4 add up to 0, I have a solution. So choose one of them as your parameter. And if I used x1 as my parameter, I'd have x1, 0, 0, negative x1, and 0, where x1 was about. So this illustrates another point, or again for us, a point that we had before. I started with 4 equations in 5 variables. When I eliminated using a systematic approach, I still had 4 equations at the end. My last set of equations, there are still 4 equations. So that says that my final solution will have 1 parameter, because I have 5 variables, I have 4 equations, and when I've simplified it, so I have 1 parameter. And we have a choice, it's either x1 or x4, but there's my general solution. As long as x1 and x4 are opposites of one another, we have a solution. Now, the only thing that would change, if this weren't a homogeneous system, if these were numbers when I started, other than 0, is that I would have ended up with different values for x2, x3, and x5, and a slightly different relationship between x1 and x4. But everything else would have been exactly the same. The way I get there is exactly the same. All right? Now, the next question on the sheet that I gave you adds a complication to the problem. Because you notice that there are 3, actually, in the last equation, A, B, and C. They just represent some numbers. And so the whole point behind that is that you have one of 3 situations. You have a unique solution,
you have infinitely many solutions, or you have no solution. And so if you work with the A, B, and C, thinking of them not as variables in the questions, you've got X, Y, and Z, those are your variables. But now you're going to find values for A, B, and C, which involve, or sorry, X, Y, and Z, which involve the A and B and C. And you can find conditions on A, B, and C where the system has, perhaps, no solution, a unique single solution, or infinitely many solutions. And we don't really have time to go through that example, but that's what those questions, the next couple of questions are like that. Number 4, 5, and 6 are exactly that. They're taking a very general situation and trying to say, what values for these other parameters give me the three situations? The last ones, halfway down the back, those aren't linear systems. But what we've done here, you can use the same ideas to solve them. Some of the same ideas to solve those approaches.